what is the connection between this passage from the Gita and our subject today? Building of character and the true wisdom of a spiritual kind. What is the connection between the two? It was already mentioned in the preliminary remarks, the connection between character and destiny. So a thought, reap a act, habit, character and destiny. And through wisdom of a spiritual kind, we are not given knowledge or knowledges of how to arrive at wisdom, but we are given what wisdom demands of the human being as a human being. The qualities, characteristics or attributes of a human being which will reach towards wisdom itself. We are not given the knowledge of the universe, the knowledge of Parabrahm or Mulla Prakriti, or the knowledge of the three fundamental propositions which are mentioned in the secret doctrine, the reality of God, the knowledge of the law of nature which are eternal, and the knowledge of evolution of being from the incipient stage to the highest stage of an archangel. We are not given anything. We are given the qualities required of a human being as a human being, away and apart from his technical knowledge of things and objects. In life, as we are told, we want success. The goal of life is success. In particular, vocation, business, or profession. The real character of the human being is gauged and governed by his attitude, posture in life, attitude to other human beings, as a spontaneous outflow of the inner state of consciousness, which demands all these qualities which are there. Morals, ethics, character are interrelated subjects. Through morality, where it springs from? Where does true character springs from? And here we have got wonderful essay by Ralph Waldo Emerson on character and ethics. A great thinker, American thinker, writes of character and ethics as the foundation of all things in life, as the foundation of all arts and sciences that springs from the inner nature of human beings, where these principles are woven into the very fabric, nature and structure of the cosmos itself, and man forms an integral part of the cosmos from which springs these rays of qualities of a human being that makes him man, and which raises him to the status, stature and dignity of self-conscious Godhood. This is not an acquisition, or rather it is not an endowment from above, but it is an, so to say, outflow from within. Character is inner state of consciousness, remember that. And that is why this passage has been chosen, how to improve oneself, self-improvement. Where does true morality spring from? The foundation of character is through psychology, which has behind it the true philosophy of life, and theosophy gives us what are those foundations of God, law and being, wherein karma has its bearing and relationship to character. Karma and the divine law of the universe and the divine idea of the Godhead are interrelated. In theosophy, God is law, or synonymous with law, and law is synonymous with God or deity. Not a personal being, but an impersonal reality And therefore, character is something which is impersonal, existing, emanating, outflowing within the personality of the human being. Today, the crisis of conscience is there. We see it. Man kills man. The nature of the man is to help man. Altruism, devotion to the interest of others, helping others, and in helping others, helping ourselves, and in helping ourselves, helping all human beings. Mr. Judge, in his letters that have helped me. Instead of that, we are killing for some purpose. We are killing for some purpose away from the divine purpose and the divine will. Where does character springs from? Madame Blavatsky states, look up your reading, very first reading in the pamphlet with you, all good and evil things in humanity have their roots in human character. And character has been conditioned by endless chain of cause and effect. But this conditioning applies to future as well as to the present and the past. The true nature of human being is helping others, altruistic. The true nature of human being is not brutality. Brutality, selfishness are an abnormal growth which hinders evolutionary processes in nature, which has a natural tendency upward. Being emanations from the divine, we go back to the divine plus the experience gained. This is a natural evolutionary process meant by the divine instructors of the human race that have impregnated the very cosmos itself with this divine idea of growth, development, evolution towards the higher and higher levels, progressively but gradually. Therefore, the brutality that we see in humanity of man to man that we see is an abnormal growth, a cancer, which leads to self-destruction at all levels of mind, body and soul. Man can rise greater than a god or can sink lower than a devil, lower than a beast. Character has to be formed through conscious self-effort and self-exertion in controlling the beast in man and allowing the flowering of the human being at the higher levels of manas and buddhi. Because man in his essential nature is buddhi, manasic being, enslaved, encircled, enmeshed by its lower nature, which is beastly. And he has to struggle upwards, in which sense life is a continuous struggle against the demon within us and not the demons outside of us. So she says, selfishness, indifference, brutality can never be the normal state of the race. To believe so would be to despair of humanity. No theosophist can do so. And she says, progress can be attained by the development of the nobler qualities. Philanthropy, charity, love, compassion, hope, charity, love and compassion lie at the late of human nature, at the very basis of human nature. It is the very basis of cosmic nature. Life is a sacrificial act of the divine beings in the cosmos who have sacrificed themselves, who have dug themselves into matter itself, and endowed humanity with all the essential noble qualities of charity, compassion and love. Where is it today? Selfishness is the curse of humanity. And we are told by our Holy One, it is unselfishness and unselfishness alone which can throw open all the doors and windows of the inner tabernacle and leaves them unshut. Purification of personality is the essential necessity to develop character. Purification at the level of our thinking, our feeling, our desire nature, our motivation, at all these levels we have to purify. Purify our will. You can draw me by a purified will gradually developing, says one of the masters. You can draw me by a gradually developing will and a purified consciousness. Therefore, ethics, morals are the very foundation of life, because the foundation of the construction of the universe itself and the construction of man, who forms an integral part of the universe. Through evolution, we are told, teaches us that by altering the surroundings of the organism, we can alter and improve the organism. In the strictest sense, this is true with regard to man. Every theosophist is bound to do his utmost to help on, by all means in his power, every wise and social effort towards the amelioration of the condition of mankind. At the poverty of body, at the poverty of mind, and at the poverty of soul. We know there are so many poor people in the universe, below the poverty line. And we have got, on the other hand, mindless affluence. See the gap, see the abyss. And then social revolutions take place. Theosophy teaches, let this revolution be gradual, progressive, and as harmless as possible, which is possible if we remain true to our inner nature of things, which is there. In every conceivable case, each man must be a center of spiritual action, especially a student of theosophy, from whom and his daily individual life, in office and out of office, at home and in society, not merely when we attend the meetings, but out of the meetings as well, as a natural flow. He must radiate those higher spiritual forces which alone can regenerate his men, fellow men. True morality, true ethics springs from within and not without. So we are told by Mr. Further down, moral elevation is the principle insisted upon in our society. When every man needs, what every man needs first is to find himself and take an honest inventory of his subjective possessions. We go outside. You know, there are two types of minds. One mind which is acquisitive, want things, objects. Another mind, level of the mind, which is creative, proactive and not reactive. That mind which seeks for its own sake the truths of life, because man's mind is an emanation from the divine mind, universal mind. We are told we are sons of mind-born Brahma, sons of universal mind, which acts at two levels, the higher and the lower. The solar and the lunar. And this lunar aspect, that ambassador operating in the body, gets tainted, corrupted by our karmic desire nature, personal nature. Higher mind is impersonal. The lower mind is personal. Character does not belong to the personal man. Character belongs to the impersonal individuality within the personality. This distinction is very clearly mentioned in theosophy. The duality of the mind principle and the mystery of the ego understanding clears up all the cobwebs and confusion through which man sails through his walk of life. We have to become altruistic and not egotistic, selfish. To erase the personality, to step out from sunlight into shade, to make room for others. That is character. you can make out a dignity of a self-possessed human being and other possessed human being. When we go after things and objects, it produces satiety. Ultimately, all our achievements we lay aside at the hour of death. Everything turns to dust and ashes in the mouth at the very moment of attainment. We carry ourselves by our character, by our inner noble qualities. Character stretches across the gap of death. We carry it across from life to life, personality to personality. All achievements, endowments of the lower mind, and all the accomplishments on the worldly, kama manasik plane, although achievements are great, technical expertise is great, medical science has advanced tremendously, but the human being has not altered. The being within these achievements, when the two can be conjoined, man becomes more than a man. So we are told, all are working for their own development and progress. Very few of us for those of others. Let him work for others and for all. For every flower of love and charity he plants in the neighbor's garden, a loathsome weed disappears from his own. This is something which is wonderful. You do somebody's good, some bad thing goes away from your garden. You see, development, evolution, progress depends upon our achievements at the inner levels of being to be truthful, good, beautiful. The three attributes of the Godhead, Sat, Chit, Ananda, the three attributes of the Godhead. Although it is without attributes, one without the second, we are told, but for our understanding, these mental abstractions become applicable in our daily life. A thing of beauty is a joy forever. We are too busy in this modern world. We have no time, we say. We have no time to stand and stare at the beautiful landscape. We have so many things to do. Character demands being. Being is more important than doing. We are in our inner essence divine. But we are strayed away from that path. We have to regain that path, and therefore the struggle of life. Therefore the tensions, the conflicts. But if we turn our gaze inward, conflicts, tensions, misery become lesser and lesser. Although at one level they will become more and more as we turn towards the divine, when we are on the upward path of discipleship. Even then, in the worst of pain, anguish, misery, there is hope. Karma, reincarnation, twin doctrines will give you the sure basis for inner character formation. Accepting the woes of birth is not so easy, and not kicking against the pricks. Let one's immortal spirit take possession of the temple of his body. You know, Lord Jesus said, man is that there is a God dwelling in the temple of the human body. Let him drive out the money changers and every unclean thing, and his own divine humanity will redeem himself. Divine is not out there. It is right in within. It requires unfoldment, unveiling, removing the disc, the cover, and you see it. The removing you have to do. No God, no extra cosmic agent can do the removing and the cleansing of our inner nature, beastly nature. The cleansing process demands active effort on our part. That manas which is involved in the body has to be extricated by conscious effort of will. and then join on to his divine parent, higher manas. And when this higher manas conjoins with buddhi, divinity becomes apparent and available to us in this body, in this tabernacle. This is an experience. We say, we speak, but the reality is to be experienced. It's not a matter of verbal rhetoric. Is essentially experiential, subsequently conceptual. But for us evolving humanity, we have to have a right concept of God so that we can build our life on the right concept of God, law and being. Because our spiritual literature, scriptures are confused and there are many contradictory elements that have crept into it. At the bottom, all religions are one, having sprung from the one divine source, Theosophia, divine wisdom, but are corrupted on the surface through the passage of time. Because truth has to travel through the prism of the human mind, and that the prism can be distorted, cracked, fissured, and all sorts of things can happen. Till the mind, our perceptions are clear, our conceptions are clear, then the reality becomes available to us as an experience. Then the whole life changes. Your orientation to life changes. Your attitude changes. You see other human beings in a new light. You see everything else completely different from what you saw previously. Because a petal of the flower of the human soul is unfolded within you. And you admire the beauty of the landscape, or you admire the beauty of the Lord, the great sacrificial beings in the universe who are residing not out there, right in every atom, in every molecule, in every cell of our body. Yeah, intelligences rule and govern the human tabernacle in physiology, in chemistry, in biology. There are divine laws, divine beings operating. Otherwise, how does automatically the heart goes on? Or the breathing goes on? Psychology is a future science that will unravel and bring physics nearer to metaphysics. Then his own divine humanity will redeem himself, for when he is thus at one with himself, he will know the builder of the tabernacle. Friends, we have too much surfeit of knowledge. Superabundance of knowledge. In the internet, you will find any subject to the minutest detail. Be care of the virus, huh? It may about everything. But what is the use of this knowledge when it is not applied? When the man using the knowledge has no knowledge of his inner divinity, which is the one fundamental fact of life. Ignore it, you are less than a beast. This is one of the things, awareness of the inner reality, awareness. Now, these are the principles on which morality, character can be built. Ethics are most important. They are the soul of wisdom religion, Madame Blavatsky says. Ethics sink into the inner reincarnating ego, which goes from life to life of flesh, which stretches across the gap of death. Whereas all our knowledge of things and objects will leave behind. The discipline, most important thing. So you have to realize that disciplining one's own self through meditation, through contemplation, through self-analysis, through self-examination, will reveal us the inner slumbering soul will awaken. And awakening is always preceded by pain. Because we are told that the upward march of the ego is a series of progressive awakenings and is marked by pain and anguish. So we are told, woe be to those who live without suffering. Stagnation and end is the end of all that vegetates without a change. And how can there be a change for the better without proportionate suffering during the preceding stage? And is it not they alone who have learned the deceptive value of earthly hopes and the illusive allurements of external nature that can solve the great problems of life, pain and death? These statements are gems. Pain is an awakener of inner awareness, inner consciousness, which will remain complacent if you are busy with achievements of objective life. We have gained things and we say, philosophy, I will retire and then I will study it. Whereas there may be no time, because many people at the time of retirement already creep towards death and the time has gone. Therefore, there is a real sense how karmic law operates when in the youth of life there are pains and anguish. Then later on, in the middle age and the elderly age, you become wiser through suffering. Therefore, any event of life, any flow towards of these advantages of suffering and pain has a meaning. Pain has a meaning. The meaning of pain, there is a, through the gates of gold, you please read it, it is on the book table. The meaning of pain, what does it mean? If you do not question life, then unquestioned life is not worth living. And you question life, what is the meaning? What is this drama? What is this leela? Why am I here? Whence do I come? Whither do I go? Plato said and defines man as a being in search of meaning. Plain statement. A being in search of meaning. Therefore we feel that emptiness in us, void. I am doing this thing, that thing, I am quite alright, satisfied, I have everything, but there is no feeling of the vacuum inside me. Why is it so? Because the creative craving of the human soul and his spontaneous yearnings towards the divine is innate in human nature. Therefore we will feel vacuum. I have done so much, I have got so many things, I have got palaces, but there is no peace, there is no happiness, there is no stillness and calm that follows the storm. Because we have gone away from our moorings in the divine soil of the divine parent within. Proximity, closer and closer we go to our divine prototype in heaven, greater will be our better, serene our destiny. Away we go from our divine parent within, there is bound to be distress, pain, anguish, conflict and some vacuum which cannot be filled by any objective thing. Values and values will alone fill the vacuum of life. These are some of the ideas which we have got. The you see, action begins at the level of thought. Therefore, pay attention over here. And action, behind it are the values of life on which we act. So values and thoughts must be united. The mind is a designation given to the sum of the states of consciousness grouped under thought, will and feeling. And behind will stands desire. So what we think, we will become. What we sow will be our destiny finally. Therefore, our actions are more at the level of thought, feeling and desire complex. And behind all this, right, purity of motive, that is the most important thing. Why do you want to do this and that? So that you may be able to become fit to serve others, to help others. Nothing else, nothing for self, but everything for others. Because in helping others, we help ourselves. And in helping ourselves and others, we help everybody. Simple prescription given by Mr. Judge, which we need to take to our heart. So we are told thoughts are the seeds of karma. Elementals, lies, are the carriers of karma. And the cyclic law is the clock of karma. So change is the law of life. But that change takes place because there is a changeless entity, observer, sustainer within us, which spectator, which sees change, itself remaining unchanged. That is our real, real being within us, which we keep in mind when we contemplate upon character. Mr. Judge advises us to consider ourselves as a tiny speck in a vast, stupendous whole, tiny, insignificant speck. And he says, conquer the habit of putting yourself forward and monopolizing the conversation. Let others speak, let others, and when they have emptied their buckets, then you may put in something, a word or a two. But let others, and you remain in the background. Another thing he advises, solidify your character by attending to small things and by attacking small faults within yourself. So your weaknesses and your strengths, you be the observer of your own weaknesses and strengths. Weaknesses you try to avoid, to overcome. Strengths you try to strengthen further. In the process, not to engender pride. Beware of pride. A sense of pride would mar the work. Immanuel Kant says at one place, two things fill me, it is written in this pamphlet, two things fill me with wonder and awe, the starry heavens above and the moral law within. So see the moral law. Man is essentially a moral being, animal is not. Man can choose, animal cannot. Man can reflect upon himself, animal cannot. He has perception of the objects outside. He can perceive as a subject inside. So all instruments of thought, action, perception are within the human being, which becomes the laboratory himself. No need of retorts, pipette, burette of the laboratory. You see that? Man is a physical factory, a chemical factory, an electronic gadget, a divine being, a thinker, one who can choose for himself and decide the course of life, but should not impose himself on others, a self-conscious being is already there, and he has to raise himself up as if by the bootstraps. Take into consideration the three fundamental concepts of the physical universe. Time, space and causality. Punctuality in time, purity in causation, accuracy in space. See the connections of metaphysics of the cosmos and the being man in his behavior, conduct and so on. This finally, we'll just tell you one or two of what is the character according to Emerson. He says, character is the habit of action from the permanent vision of truth. Real character is based on the built-in structure of the human being himself, on the permanent vision of truth. It carries a superiority to all the accidents of life. It compels right relation of man to every other man. Relationship of man to every other man, relationship of man to the cosmos, and the relationship of man and the cosmos to divine beings in the cosmos who are behind the governance of the natural order of things and who propel evolution onwards and forwards. Man is not unaided. Man has never been without a friend in his pilgrimage of life. He is helped, but we are dumb, cannot hear and cannot see that there is a divinity within us which is helping us on itself, on this path. Emerson quotes from Vishnu Purana. But I, Father, says the wise Prahlad in the Vishnu Purana, know neither friends nor foes. I behold Keshava in all beings as in my own soul. Character confers perpetual insight. It sees that a man's friends and his foes are of his own household, of his own person. What would it avail me if I could destroy my enemies? There would be as many tomorrow. There which I hate and fear is really in myself, and no knife is long enough to reach to its heart. Confucius said one day, "Sir, in carrying on your government, why should you use killing at all? Let your evinced desires be for what is good, and the people will be good. The grass must bend when the wind blows across it." K. King, distressed about the number of thieves in the state, K. King was the Chinese emperor once upon a time, distressed about the number of thieves in the state, inquired of Confucius how to do away with them. And Confucius said, "If you, sir, were not covetous, although you should reward them to do it, they would not steal." So covetousness is the enemy of man. Desire nothing, says the Lord. Chafe not at nothing, but work on with nature, and nature will regard it as one of her creators and make obeisance. Now, friends, question. Pain was mentioned in the lecture as an awakener of the inner consciousness. Now, Mr. Crosby said at one place, when the lesson is learned, the necessity ceases. So pain comes to us as a friend, so to say, to teach us something. So if we learn something from that experience of pain, then there will be no need for the experience to be repeated again. Now, how can we learn from that experience? Have I put the question correctly? What is meant to be learned? I have got some disease which is incurable. Now, what has that to teach me? What lesson is to be learned from that incurable disease? It's an example. Incurable disease, to the person who knows what the disease is, it will be much more painful. Please remember, to a doctor who is a patient, then that pain will be much more than a layman who doesn't know anything about the disease, simply because he knows the permutations, combinations and the sequelae of the disease and ultimate dissolution of the body. He is aware of it, therefore his mind works. But even in that condition, a layman or a doctor, lesson is there. What is that lesson? Patient endurance. If the Lord says in Dhammapada, endurance is the highest tapas, enduring patience is the highest tapas, is difficult, but it is possible. We learn patience, we learn tolerance, we have to learn the lesson of accepting the pain that comes to us as a result of my own past, karmic thoughts and deeds, somewhere in the remote past, I don't know. Therefore, to inculcate, unfold faith in the law of karma, that is a lesson to be learned. I may not know. My lower mind doesn't know. Mind operating in this flesh of body doesn't know. But my higher ego is aware of it. It has invited it. It desires it. It deserves it. Now, is your incarnated mind aware of this? Does it accept it or does it revolt? Does it rebel? In the midst of pain, these questions you can ask yourself. It is possible. It is possible. It is not completely remote. My own has come back to me. Why and how, I don't know. But I know that it is. There is some sense in it. Some meaning in this madness. And it is not arbitrary. It is design. There is a design in the seemingly blindless forces of nature. Nothing is fortuitous, haphazard, random. No. Divine justice rules the world, rigid justice. But this is unjust. I am suffering, other fellow is enjoying. I am so good and all bad people are enjoying. What is all this? These very thoughts you question, 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 and answer will come. It's matter of time. So patience, endurance, fortitude, perseverance, these are the qualities that will, the lessons which we have to learn. Ultimately, in the forum of your own consciousness, at a certain point in time, the things will be clear. When those barriers go away, when your inner consciousness is able to touch, just touch the outermost hem of the garment of divine within, things will open out before you. Past, present, future are not there. It's an eternal now. This has to be experienced. It goes above the intellectual, this thing. But it is something which is built up, and when you are awakened, you are being helped from within. That is the whole thing. You are helped. That faith in the divine justice, divine masters, divine law. More the student can't say. And to a man who is suffering, please don't say all these things. Huh? It is meaningless to him in the hour of his anguish. There you require compassion. And a physician has to be dispassionate in his thinking and compassionate in his heart. And the communication between the sufferer and the physician is something which is unique, which opens his own eyes. And the entity at the hour of death actually goes on saying, to a personal experience, it is better that she has suffered from the dreadful disease than otherwise, because it has opened my eyes to the reality of life. The bud has opened. Divinity reveals itself within the anguish of the soul. And this is a fact of experience. Fortunate it is who comes across a person. I remember in our colony, there was a child was suffering from cerebral palsy. which is a congenital disease, and the child is a vegetable all her life. She lived for 26 years, and the parents were used to lift the child up for a walk, and they told the student, "We are happy that my child has suffered. We have looked after him, and our eyes are open. The karma and reincarnation are facts of life, not merely philosophical propositions." Where does this wisdom come from? Suffering child, nursing day and night. This is something which is unique. Can we say healthy environment is conducive to building of character? Yes. An unhealthy environment also is conducive to building character. Both are there. Environment is the result of our past karma. And environment includes the external environment as well as the internal environment. So depending upon the internal environment, your external environment will appear as good or bad. Karma is neither good nor bad. Our causation is good or bad. Cause inheres in man. Effects flow to man directly or through the environment. The environment is the agent of karma, but not the cause of karma. Karma inheres within you. Therefore, your attitude towards the environment will depend